You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Exploring the multiverse of pop culture.
This is Pod Casserole.
An Adam and JP show.
Hey, it's Podcasserole.
Hey there.
I'm Jay Patrick. That's Adam.
We are real.
Welcome to Podcasserole.
Oh.
An Adam and JP show.
Yeah.
I love the way Brooks says that.
You're like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. It's an Adam and JP show. An Adam and JP show.
Yeah.
Huh, you knew that.
We could have her do an exclusive podcast on Patreon as well. I think people want to hear more of Showgirl Brooklyn. It's no longer Showgirl, is it? That was three generations ago.
That's true.
Now it's just Brooklyn.
It's just Brooklyn.
Yeah.
She dropped the Showgirl.
Yeah, it's true.
She went on.
Bigger, better things.
Got bona fide.
Yeah. But speaking of Patreon, at patreon.com/podcasserole, we have great, great content now, and you can contribute as little as $1 a month and hear certain podcasts exclusively for you on there. We can't do that every time. It makes them sad. We need a happy song to play.
You can call me. This is the show now. It's called Podcasserole.
Yeah, it's what we do.
Same show.
Same thing.
Different name. Go to adamandjp.com right now and see all sorts of new things on the website,
right,
including a link to our Podcasserole Patreon pitch video.
Wow, that's a lot of. I'm glad you have a pop filter there. Your
I know.
Microphone.
Pop, pop, pop.
With your money contributions of Patreon, we can have even better pop filters, though.
And more videos.
Yeah. So whenever I do the pops, your earbuds wouldn't explode anymore.
Think about that. If Patreon is successful,
right?
Like the worlds it opens up for us to do.
Yeah, think about it.
I know.
Just think about it.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
This episode brought to you in part by the Amazon store at esopodcast.com.
Right.
Go there for all your Amazon shopping. Regardless of what you want to buy on Amazon, they don't know, we don't know, but they get credit for the link.
Yeah. It's a win-win for everyone.
So if you want to go dark shopping on Amazon, you can do that.
Yeah.
Using the Amazon link at esopodcast.com because Podcasserole is part of the ESO Broadcast Network.
Right. Do they sell edible undies on Amazon?
I don't know. I don't know.
Is that edible? Is it gummy or is it like a candy necklace?
You're asking the wrong person.
I mean, I'm just
no
curious.
Idea.
I'm curious.
No clue.
I have some at my house for a reason, but I'm just curious what it consists of. No, so I got married recently, and for the bachelorette party, you know, they give things like that.
Right.
And so they're there, and I see them.
Are they in the pantry with the rest of the snacks?
It's like, man, gummy bears, Rolos, edible undies. What am I going to have today? No, they're just like to the side. And I see them, I'm like, they're in a box, and it's got nutritional facts on there for undies. I just don't know what it consists of. I want to take it out and look at it, but I think it's like a candy necklace.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of Smarties on a string.
Oh, it's like a Smartie?
I think. So when I heard the term edible undies back in the day, I thought actual undies that you eat. These are candies.
You've never researched this.
These are candies you wear. There's a big difference there.
Yeah, it's like a candy necklace?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Unlike undies, which is gross.
And it doesn't sound very hygienic.
No,
to be honest,
it's not at all. I mean, Smarties are bad enough as they are.
Are they beads?
No, I think they're like little Smarties.
Okay.
I think actual Smarties, little Nico wafers.
They're made
by
the Sweet Tart Company.
Yeah, at least give me like a nickel nip. Like some wax with some liquids.
Look at this nickel nip. Coming up today, we're going to focus on video game franchises that are dormant. They're dead.
Yeah.
They died.
But they deserve a reboot.
They should be brought back.
Yeah.
They should be in the age of rebooting. Why not reboot these video game franchisees?
Right. Tie your boot.
Franchises.
Yeah. Just needs the reboot. And there are a lot of games I can think of like that. I'll save them for later, but these are my favorites spoke of.
Is it fair to say that Mario is Mario credited as being like the first franchise?
No, because I mean like a Pac-Man was before that. I wouldn't think so.
I guess Pac-Man would be a franchise.
Yeah. Because
you had Pac-Man and then Pac-Man Jr.
And Miss Pac-Man.
And Super Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Is Mario perhaps the most successful franchise?
Yeah, I think as far as game sales, without a doubt, yeah.
So all that Mario stuff, even Paper Mario, falls into the Mario franchise.
Yeah, totally.
Dr. Mario.
Mario Kart, Golf Mario, whatever. Mario, tennis. Last Night's Tacos.
Donkey Kong.
Mario Tennis.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering about that.
That's what it is.
If Mario was the first franchise. Yeah. But probably the most successful.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I'd say money-wise, that is the one. Close second would be Legend of Zelda, probably.
Yeah.
I think so. Nintendo's got it.
Hey, did you have a fun Valentine's Day?
It was good, yeah.
Last week?
Just did some low-key stuff, you know. Stayed at home, made
low-key?
Some
low-key? You had a low-key Valentine's?
Low-key Valentine's, a little low-key pokey.
Oh.
No. stayed home, made some foods, and just did some stuff, you know. Made the old classic chocolate dip strawberries.
Look what my lovely wife gave me for Valentine's.
Nice. Rebirth.
Rebirth.
That's already in trade?
Trade paperbacks.
Wow.
Of Justice League, Superman, Batman, and The Flash.
My life is a blink. I feel like that came out last week. And it's already in trade.
Yeah, it's already in trade.
That was almost a year ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, and wow. I've almost finished the Justice League.
Yeah.
It's a good story.
Yeah, that first issue was great. I remember that, number one.
And, of course, with the trades, you get cover art and stuff like that. There's some fun cover art in the back of this Justice League.
The older you get, do you enjoy, because I myself do personally, I used to kind of look down upon trades and want the actual copies of the issues, but now I prefer trades.
I prefer it.
It's so weird.
It's just that way you can sit down, and even if you have to wait a year or whatever, you can just sit down and consume the entire story. Uh-huh.
I still have boxes and boxes of comics, but it's getting to the point now I don't know where to put them. It's like there's no room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got no room.
That's true.
Bring them here. We'll put them on the wall.
Not so much.
Hey, I learned something this Valentine's Day, though.
What's that?
Because I got my wife some flowers. Mm-hmm. And I ordered them. Hang on. Didn't want to drop my books. I ordered them through proflowers.com.
Did that before once, and it was terrible. We'll continue.
Go to proflowers.com now and use the code AdamandJP.
Oh, really?
No. we're on a podcast. It just seemed like the right thing
might
to say.
Yeah, might as well. Yeah.
this brought to you by Loot Crate. so I ordered proflowers.com, and I don't know why. I just always assumed that there was like a ProFlowers delivery guy driving around in a van and, you know, and then delivers the vase and the flowers to whoever you send them to. Is that how you thought it worked?
Not really, no.
Oh, you knew different.
Yeah.
I didn't. they show up in a box.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, because when my wife got home that afternoon, I was like, oh, good, you got them. I said, oh, they're a little shorter in the vase than I thought they would be. And she goes, hey, well, I cut them a little shorter. I was like, oh, wait a minute. You cut them. They didn't cut them for you? She's like, no. I was like, so what happens? She's like, they show up in a box.
Yeah.
And then the vase comes separate.
Yeah.
I said, really? I had no idea.
Yeah.
I thought just the entire bouquet showed up in a guy in like an FTD van.
Oh, well, like a milk delivery guy?
Yeah.
Here's your milk, man. Your flowers, hey.
Got your flowers. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
No, I did that once. ProFlowers and 1-800-Flowers.com. And they're both terrible each time. They came dead and rotten and nasty. So I'm glad you had a good experience. That's good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my experience was fine.
That's good.
I just
because they're very expensive as well. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
It's funny, though. That's how these guys get you on the internet. They reel you in with like, hey, you can get this for just $20.
Yeah.
Oh, you want a vase? Well, that's $100.
Oh, you like this teddy bear?
Yeah.
It's only $1.25.
Yeah. We'll throw you in a box of chocolates for $20.
Yeah.
$25 extra.
But they'll be specially all melted and come together as one big chocolate.
Oh, she's a teacher.
Yeah.
As we've talked about.
Right.
She had a bunch of Valentines at school.
Mm-hmm.
All candy.
Ah.
And all that candy came home.
Nice. You take care of that?
And I try not to eat candy.
Yeah.
You know, Adam, I try not to eat candy.
Right.
I tried not to do it
mm-hmm.
because, I.
But you had to this time.
I'm very weak. No, I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't had any.
No candy?
But there's tons of candy sitting in our house.
So V-Day and Easter coming up soon here. It's a lot of candy around.
Yeah.
A lot of candy.
People love candy.
Yeah.
I want candy. We're going to start something new, and I'll let you go first because I didn't know until recently that you had something to share here.
And it's not the same news story. Are you sure we don't have the same news story?
No, we don't have the same news story.
Wow.
I guarantee you we don't have the same news story.
Wow.
So we're going to go this week in New World Order news. Adam, I'll let you start. This week in New World Order news.
So America loves the Kardashians, right? We all love the Kardashians, of all sisters, of all the parents even. One of the younger ones, Kendall Jenner, this week was at the Michael Kors fashion show, I believe in New York City.
Uh-huh.
And she was spotted on the runway even wearing the classic New World Order, the Wolfpack black and red NWO t-shirt. And so now the world is blowing up. Young teenage girls her age want to be part of the Wolfpack. And the Wolfpack's coming back.
Like this New World Order?
Yeah. That happened.
For life. I had no idea.
And Conan even gave her she actually gave her membership to the Wolf Pack. She's a Wolf Pack member now.
Did Scott Hall show up and take a poll? Kendall Jenner, are you WCW?
Look at the headlines of the news. Kendall Jenner might be NWO for life. So that's not the same story you have, really.
No.
We both came with different NWO stories. It's funny.
Yeah, mine is New World Order.
Right, right.
Right. Like, you know, conspiracy theories and all that good stuff.
Yeah, that's great.
That is the NWO shirt.
Kendall, the Wolf Pack, Kendall Jenner on the Michael Kors runway. It's fantastic.
I went a different route
okay.
with my NWO news. I found a YouTuber named ODD.
Yeah.
Or Odd.
It's possible.
But he likes to call himself the ODD. Mm-hmm. His YouTube channel is ODD TV or Odd TV. And ODD hates the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
So much, he wrote an anti-New World Order song called Illusion.
Oh. Take a look around you. What you see is just illusions. Everything goes in circles, but there's no revolutions. They create the problems, then they offer the solutions. We're nothing but going to them. They treat us like subhumans. Take a look around you. What you see is just illusions. Everything goes in circles, but there's no revolutions. They create the problems, then they offer the solutions. We're nothing but going to
them. That's not bad.
Not bad. It's kind of ICP-ish, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
Who's an anti-establishment kind of guy?
Well, he hates the NWO.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah.
not NWO for life.
Not for life? Even Wolfpack?
I don't think so.
ODD TV Truth Division, the one and only. They hate the fact that I'm nosy, but I say fuck it, blow me. I'm a researcher, a real truth seeker. This is my classroom, fool. I'm a school teacher.
All right, so ODD TV,
yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
a song.
Yeah.
Just released this week. Like, ODD dropped this week.
Oh, it was just dropped?
Yeah, just dropped.
Recently dropped, okay.
You can find it on his YouTube channel. And I was like, well, that's not bad. I can understand not liking the New World Order. And then I started watching some of ODD's videos uh-huh. that he has. Turns out ODD is part of this anti-New World Order movement that involves the idea that the Earth is not round.
What?
It is, in fact, flat. And here's ODD explaining a bit of that.
Now let's talk about another TV show that I found the flat earth in, Dinosaurs. Who remembers Jim Henson's wow. Dinosaurs? I used to watch this show every morning before school. And it's just funny to think about being indoctrinated by the TV, a show about dinosaurs, when we all know now that dinosaurs, not all of us know, but we are all of us flat earthers are coming to the understanding that dinosaurs never existed.
Well, there's
so
the first red
like,
flag.
Oh, now I'm thinking about watching a TV show about dinosaurs right before I go to the indoctrination center to get educated. It's not really education. It's pure indoctrination. You see, they're conditioning the hell out of us, man. Back then, now, every time you watch a movie by Universal and it comes in with the globe spinning and you're like, ooh, do-do-do. You know, even Stinky Cash was like, you are being, you know, brainwashed. Every single movie you watch, no matter what it's about, you're being brainwashed. Because in the beginning, it comes in with a spinning globe. And that, it sets into your subconscious and you're like, it just becomes a part of you after a while. No, you don't have to give it any thought. The Earth is round. You see the round Earth image hundreds of times a day, if not thousands, on all sorts of different things.
Okay, look, now, well, what's your thoughts?
Where does the passion about this flat earth theory come from?
I'm going to share in the future.
I mean, really?
More flat earth videos that I have found.
Wow.
Like and at first when I read it, because what was the rapper?
I think B.O.B., right?
B.O.B., yeah, right.
That's our second B.O.B. reference in a week.
That is true. I got the magic in me. Like, I thought that was all a lark. Like, it was, you know, it's fun. It's a funny joke to me.
Even Tila Tequila was hard on the flat earth.
These people actually believe the earth is flat. And do you know what they believe you run into if you sail far enough out into the ocean?
What's that?
A 200-foot ice wall that surrounds the entire flat earth.
What?
And on the other side of the 200-foot ice wall is the Earth that we as commoners are not allowed to inhabit because the elites, the Illuminati, the New World Order own that Earth.
Wow.
So we have to remain on this side of the 200-foot ice wall.
I didn't know that. I've never heard this theory. So whenever you take a cross-world trip, like from here to Japan, wouldn't you hit that wall? Oh, but it's only 200 feet.
Yeah.
Okay, so you jump over that wall.
Well, no. It's there. I mean, you could.
Yeah.
But no. They're saying that...
I think my geography's messed up here in my head.
No. They believe that our navigational maps, everything that we use to travel around this flat Earth that we inhabit, that we believe is the entire world, is not really the entire world.
So the globe and world they're showing us is not even close to what...
No. The moon landing was faked. We've never been to space.
Because we've seen an outline of the state we live in, Tennessee. We've seen that outline of that, what the shape looks like. We could mark it out. But the only reason we know what the shape is because we were taught that.
Exactly.
I understand.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because as a child, you went to the indoctrination center.
Yeah. If I showed you the shape of Florida, you would point out, hey, that's Florida. Only because you've been taught that since elementary school.
Right.
It's you've never really, seen that no. shape with your... Yeah.
No.
Wow.
No. And so...
I think you're making me a flat earther. I'm joking.
And he goes and he has more videos. We may share some more of ODD's thoughts.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel bad because at the beginning of this video, when you go on the internet, as you can imagine, and you have a theory that contradicts, you know, science, and you put out there, I believe the Earth is flat, you can imagine the backlash one would get.
Yeah, for sure.
And I do feel bad for him because some very, very horrible, nasty things have been said to him via social media.
Well, you shouldn't say that stuff.
But that's the chance you take when you start, you know, putting out there that you believe the Earth is flat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was blown away. I watched more flat Earth videos, and I will share more of those with you in the upcoming weeks.
I've seen extremely interesting documentaries on the just the twisting of the globe and the way we do view the Earth. I'm not saying we're a flat Earth at all, not even close to that, but you see, you should watch the documentaries. I've seen some on YouTube quite a bit, and they're not saying we have a flat Earth, just showing the strange, like just the juxtaposition of the countries and continents. Like if you have an actual round globe and they cut that thing open and laid it flat, it wasn't right at all. They were showing continents 3 or 4 times the size they actually were. And just the comparison. It's pretty cool to see that.
I know. I can believe some of that.
Yeah, that's totally,
the whole idea that the Earth is not a ball.
Yeah.
It's not a ball.
And they showed,
it's almost egg-shaped.
They showed images of different maps and globes throughout the centuries of how they change. Even right now, there are multiple different ones. And scale-wise, you can take away like an Africa or an Australia to North America. And globes and maps we have out today, the scale of those continents are like way off.
Yeah.
Way, 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 way off. The ones we have today, even in classrooms, it's weird.
I can believe some of that.
Yeah, totally.
Not that the Earth is flat.
No, not at all.
And I just don't understand, like on a whole, and he did play a clip from Dinosaur, the TV show, that I didn't play. But I don't understand how you can walk outside at night, you can look up into the night sky, and see the moon is clearly round. And not guess that, well, if that's a celestial body that's above us and it's revolving around, just basic science, of course we're round. Of course the Earth is round. Of course gravity is real. And these guys, like, they don't believe gravity. They don't believe everything you've been taught, they don't believe.
Wow.
Basically.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So there you have it.
Hmm.
That's this week in NWO News.
Very different news stories we had this week.
You know? I know. It's very different. Like, I was not expecting the actual, but the wrestling NWO to be yours.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, you know what we can also bring back for all of this?
What's that?
Crying Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah. Perfect timing.
Wow. That guy.
That's fantastic.
So, Adam, anything interesting this week? Anything you want to share with us?
Man, that flat Earth stuff kind of threw me for a loop. Not really. There was a Valentine's Day dance I was a part of last weekend.
Oh, that's right. Tell us about that.
I filmed that for a little organization around town here, and it was fun. I've just never seen a dance for adults.
Who did you film that for?
The place that I worked with.
No. But why did you do it?
Oh, for money? What's the question here? I'm confused.
And what is the company that filmed this?
Oh, ATP Films. That's what it is.
ATP Films,
yeah,
you say?
Yeah, ATPfilms.com. I thought you meant why, the actual reason. But no. Yeah. So, yeah, I did some videography on their dance for their adult. It was weird to have, when you think of Valentine's Day dance, you think of elementary school, middle school, maybe high school. But it was 30, 40, 50-year-olds, and it was fun. It was cool. A fantastic band was there.
So, Adam, you're saying that if I had an event or a wedding that I needed a videographer for.
I think ATPfilms.com is the place for you to go check out.
I might do that.
Yeah.
I might go now and check out ATPfilms.com.
What a deal. Use discount code MADBALLS.
It was a middle-aged Valentine's dance.
Kind of, yeah. Can I say it was the elite of the elite of this town? It was odd.
Oh,
working
really?
For over a decade at Starbucks, I know the ins and outs of the workings of this place and every single because the tickets there were at the door $85 a piece.
Ooh, that's not cheap.
Pre-sales were $75.
Wow.
To be there was the top politicians, the preachers of the churches, the government officials. It was crazy.
So, Adam, is it safe to say that perhaps the elitist, maybe the Illuminati, maybe the New World Order were at this dance?
That's possible. The last good. That's my favorite.
Well, I'm glad you had fun.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah,
did some. It was the classic. Every single wedding song was played there, and it was good. It was a live band, but they did a good job.
They play Patrick Swayze.
No stuff like Cupid Shuffle and things like that.
Oh,
and the Wobble. You know your favorites.
Baby, Wobble Baby.
Have you ever done the Cupid Shuffle with me once? You haven't,
no,
have you?
I haven't.
Man,
no.
At all the conventions and events and weddings we've been to, you never shuffled the Cupid with me.
Nope. I don't plan on it either.
The first time we saw that done was producer Brian from a few years ago. Remember our old producer Brian?
Oh, at
GMX.
GMX.
At the Monsters Ball. He was there with his suspenders and his mask doing his Cupid Shuffle.
Wobble. No, Cupid. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Cupid Shuffle is like years old, though.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost 20 years old.
It's still a big deal. Every wedding I've shot so far, and not once has it not been played.
Then why don't they just do the Hokey Pokey?
Well, that's like 100 years old. Oh. There's a difference.
We're going to keep this within 20 years,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, it is a new Hokey Pokey, though. It is.
It is the new Hokey Pokey.
Yeah. It's a little more sexy, though.
There's actually lots of conventions we've gone to.
Yeah.
They've done the Cupid Shuffle.
Yeah.
I hate it.
It's becoming like slowly out of the wedding scene and more than the conventions.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
How come the Harlem Shake didn't catch on like that?
I don't know. I wish it did, though. And Turned Down for What was almost good.
Ah.
And Gangnam Style, that was good for a year.
That's true.
Man. That was back in the good.
The Humpty Dance.
Yeah. Remember the good convention days? There's still some good ones around here.
Yeah.
There's a small cluster. We won't say what it is. They were so much better 3-4 years ago.
Yep, they were.
I mean, they were fantastic. But now they're not.
You could do the math and see what we went to 3 or 4 years ago and then what we don't go to now.
Right, yeah. Look into that.
And deduct for yourself which ones we're talking about.
Exactly.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed your Valentine's Day dance.
Yeah.
Which wasn't on Valentine's Day.
No, it was the weekend before. The Valentine's Grand Dance. The weekend before was
good.
It's
hard to get in a restaurant on Valentine's Day.
That's why I don't do it. Stay at home and make some foods.
Yeah. We had to wait. We waited like 35, 40 minutes for Hibachi Grill.
I'm good. Stay at home.
Love the Hibachi Grill, though.
It's a good one.
It is delicious.
Did you get the choo-choo train, the onion, or the volcano? Did you get a volcano or a train?
I got a choo-choo train and a volcano.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It was V-Day. That's why.
And the egg tricks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where they toss the eggs up.
Did you get some flung in your mouth?
No.
Spatula?
Luckily, there were enough kids around the table. They focused on the kids.
You don't like the...
But I have done that before.
You don't like to get in your mouth?
No.
Like the focus on you?
No.
The focus.
I don't like any attention on me.
You don't. You stay in the shadows.
I stay in the shadows.
Like a rogue.
That's why I'm a podcast host. I want to be in the shadows where nobody knows where I am.
Yeah, exactly.
Host a podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Video game franchises that are dormant. They're dead. But they deserve a reboot.
Deserve it so.
We'll do that.
Next.
Okay, auditions for the new Earth Station Who co-host. Take one, go ahead.
Hello, Stonehenge, who takes the Pandora Cup, takes the universe. But, bad news everyone, cause guess who? Ha, listen, you lot you're all whizzing about. It's really very distracting. Could you all just stay still a minute because I am talking?
Not too shabby. Can you close this up?
Earth Station Who, a fun mashup celebrating over 50 years of the Doctor Who universe. You never know where the TARDIS is going to go next. Earth Station Who podcast can be found at www.earthstationwho.com. Earth Station Who is a proud member of the ESO Network. We are up on Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace and we are done. Did I pass the audition?
We'll get back to you. Next.
What did you just find on Kickstarter?
It's called Bangarang, a short fan film about Rufio before Hook. So a Rufio prequel. The actual goal is $30,000 at the time of this recording. In less than one day, they've raised over $23,000 with 580 backers. People love Rufio.
Apparently.
From Hook, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the actor who portrayed Rufio, who we've seen at Dragon Con.
Right, yeah. We have seen him. He's the one behind all this, putting it together.
Leroy Jenkins.
Dante Basco is his name.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and he's starting this whole Hook prequel.
Now, is he going to be Rufio?
I imagine he'll be, because this was, what, 25 years ago?
Are they going to use that Marvel Youngin' You Up technology?
He's going to, yeah, chances are at RDJ. I think he'll be the old mentor that shows Rufio his ways.
Yeah.
We'll have a young up-and-comer to be the new Rufio.
That'll be the next Kickstarter.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Or the next social media thing.
Yeah.
Who will be Rufio?
Are you the new Rufio?
You could be Rufio.
So you think you can Rufio? Brow, brow,
brow. Tonight on True TV. So you think you can Rufio?
Not without my Rufio.
A Lifetime original movie.
Yeah.
I've been watching True TV this week.
Oh, you have?
I just started watching Impractical Jokers.
I heard that's great.
My wife and I started
watching
it.
It's just like a camera, right?
It's really funny. It's different.
Really?
Yeah. It's a different take.
But same idea?
It's hidden cameras.
Uh-huh.
But all the Impractical Jokers, they're basically the focal point of the challenge.
Okay.
So they have to go out and, you know, there's a certain thing they have to, you know, they're seeking weird advice from a random person on the street. And if they don't get the advice, then they lose the challenge.
Okay. My awkward meter is so sensitive. It's painful to watch that kind of stuff sometimes. I can't, even candid camera, I can only watch for 30 seconds and I'm done.
And Practical Jokers is really funny.
Really?
It's really funny. And then we watch the Carbonaro Effect, which has been on for years.
Never heard of that.
He's a magician. But it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like having fun at people's expense with magic.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Scare Tactics? I used to love that show.
With Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, he hosted that for a while. And also it was, who else was it? The actress from 90210, Shannon Doherty, hosted it for a while.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
She sure did.
Yeah.
I remember that on MTV.
Yeah. It was a good show, though. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was scary.
But yeah, I have to recommend Impractical Jokers. It's really funny. It's way funnier than I thought it would be.
Really?
I was just kind of like, I don't know.
I've been watching MeTV recently.
Oh, Adam.
What?
I know what MeTV is.
Yeah?
But for those that are perhaps uninitiated with MeTV,
yeah,
lay it on us. You may see on MeTV.
This all started, can I have my origin story of MeTV?
Oh, please.
This all started a few days ago when, I don't know if he got scared or something happened where my wiener dog peed the bed. So he sleeps with us, and I'll be honest here.
Yeah.
He's never done it before, but he peed the bed with us in there. I'm like,
you woke
son
up with
of a... I'm like, I thought he was licking me at first. It was 2 or 3 in the morning. I'm soaked in wiener pee.
Yeah.
And I wake up like, oh,
man. And you didn't pay for it?
Exactly.
You're soaked in wiener pee, Donald Trump style.
I'm like, oh, man. So I wake the wife up. We're, you know, angrily changing the sheets, chewing the dog out. And the comforter itself was pissed on. And I think ours is, with most, you know, home washers, washing machines can't fit a full-size comforter in there.
Right.
So I have to take it to the laundromat the next day.
Yeah.
While she's at work and I'm doing my thing. So I take it to the laundromat, and they have a TV up there in the corner, almost like a closed-circuit TV, a terrible old, barely any color to it, maybe 19 inches tops.
It's being held on with a bungee cord.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Why are all laundromats so disgusting?
I don't know.
And I'm watching this, and MeTV is on there. I'm like, what is MeTV? They kept having commercials for it, and then coming up next on MeTV tomorrow. I'm like, this is stupid. But then the show comes back on.
Right. And what show is it?
Mama's Family is back on primetime TV. There she was looking at me right in the face. Mama was in the laundromat. It was meant for that dog to piss on my sheets.
Well, she's not back.
Mama's back.
It's just a rerun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But right? She is, they're back rerunning her. So I'm pretty much in hell at the laundromat. But then they start showing Mama's Family.
And then you don't want to leave.
Yeah, I'm like, well, this isn't so bad.
And now you're trying to find out, how do I see MeTV?
I mean, maybe back in the laundromat, though. Maybe half of these machines worked.
Yeah.
It's loud. It smells bad in there. No exaggeration, there are mice running across the floor.
Ugh.
And I'm not afraid of mice. I used to have gerbils and hamsters and mice as pets as a child. But still, that shock of seeing that in your peripheral scurry across the floor.
And what if one gets in your laundry basket?
I know.
Well, I just take one home.
Thankfully, I just like had one comforter.
Yeah.
But I see it in my peripheral scurry across the floor. And I try to keep cool. I hop up and grab my phone and start a fake phone call as I walk out of the place.
Why?
Because I had to leave because the mouse was coming towards me. I'm not afraid of mice, but that jump scare.
But weren't you the only person in there?
No. There were others.
Yeah. Maybe it was their mice.
There were others. And the problem was I was going to leave and go look for some Mad Balls at Walmart. But they have big signs up there, big neon signs. Do not leave your items unattended. Anything you leave
or else the mice might get
don't
them.
Leave anything unattended or be sent to a homeless shelter. I'm like, man, I can't have my piss sheet sent to the homeless shelter. So I was going to, I'm fine with rule breaking, but the lady comes in. I come to find out as she's talking to the other people waiting, watching Mama's Family, she's the owner of the laundromat. And she's telling stories about her brother-in-law. It's got a bad liver. He's an alcoholic. And her sister's in Taiwan. All these stories no one cares about. But she's the owner. And I can't leave my piss sheets because the mouse is on the floor and she's the owner. And she'll put them to the homeless shelter.
Wow.
So that's where I was for an hour, at least an hour, watching Mama's Family at the laundromat. And that's what MeTV is about. So I looked deeper into this. And it's kind of a basic cable TV land.
It really is.
Gilligan's Island.
Chips,
Mama's Family. It's kind of
Andy Griffith Show.
A Saving TV Land now is a little too modern for what MeTV is.
Bonanza.
Yeah.
It's TV.
Something my grandma watched when I was a kid.
It's TV for the elderly.
Yeah. When I would go to my grandma's house when I was 5 years old in the late 80s, she was watching these shows.
The 70 shows Emergency is on there?
Really? I'm sure the Waltons is. I'm sure they are.
Who's the horror host?
What's that?
There's a horror host on there.
Oh, yeah. That was, is it Svengoolie?
Svengoolie, yeah.
I've heard of that, but I haven't seen. Oh, wow.
Yeah, he hosts a show.
I forgot that's what it was.
Yeah.
This is my channel.
Yep.
Svengoolie and Mama's Family.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go to the laundromat more often.
There you go.
But yeah, man, mice on the floor. Like, actually, this is a public building I'm paying money to be in. There's a mice at my feet.
Mm.
There's a mouse. But that's my MeTV story.
They're probably mice.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you see one.
I don't like laundromats, man.
No, I don't.
Not a fan.
Yeah. Which laundromat was it?
The one in our town here.
On the main highway?
Yeah, right in the middle of, I don't even know what it's called. Suds and Spuds and Duds, I don't know.
I think I've been to that one.
Really?
Yeah. When we first moved into the house? Oh, wait, no. A couple of years ago when our washing machine went on the fritz.
Uh-huh.
And we had to wash clothes.
Yeah.
Our dryer was working, but the washer wasn't. Or maybe it was the reverse. Regardless, I had to go to that very same laundromat.
Hey, I don't want to judge people, but I want us to have like a T-shirt that says, I don't really need to be here, just a freak accident, pissy dog.
Wow. Why are you so judgmental on people that need laundromats?
I feel like the other people.
People that live in apartments have to use laundromats all the time.
Is that still a thing?
Yes.
Really?
When I lived in an apartment by myself, I didn't have a washer and dryer.
Really?
There weren't even hookups for a washer and dryer.
Really?
But there was a laundromat on site. So I'd have to take my clothes to the laundromat.
That sounds terrible, man. That sounds, unless there's MeTV at all times, but it still sounds terrible.
The only clean laundromat I've ever been in
is
the laundromat on site at the resort at Disney World.
Wow.
They're immaculate.
I'm sure they have those there.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, it's just MeTV is good, laundromat not so much.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that was quite an adventure.
That's what happened. And so in the past few nights, like 3 or 4 nights, I've had fears. Like the dog will lick me while I'm sleeping, and I wake up in fear of having to go back to the laundromat. I'm afraid he's pissing the bed again.
Have you ever peed the bed in your adulthood?
Not in adulthood. I don't think I was. Even as a kid, I don't think I was. I was never like a bed peer. I was on the pacifier for way too long, but never peed the bed.
When did you quit the pacifier?
4 or 5, something then. Yeah.
What?
So I started kindergarten when I was 4 years old. Much like diapers, I was late on that game too.
I'm still wearing diapers.
Yeah, still here. But I would come home from kindergarten. And I remember rushing home, my mom, because I would cry because my pacifier couldn't come to school with me.
Yeah.
And so I would rush home, and she would like put it in the drawer. She's like, it's going to be right here when you get home. I would rush home and grab it and just suck on it like a cigarette. Like,
I've got a card. Yeah. I have a counselor, a friend of mine.
Man, that was 20, no, almost 30 years ago.
I'm pretty sure there's still repercussions of that.
That was almost 30 years ago. I'm good now.
After we get done, I'll give you a number. Why don't you give her a call?
Some people pee beds. I just had a pacifier.
Sounds like you may have some things to work
out. And it wasn't like I was 10 years old. I was four years old because I started kindergarten when I was four. I was 4 years old. I wasn't a 10-year-old.
If you could get away with wearing diapers now, would you?
No. Sometimes I go wipe just to make sure I wipe properly enough. I can never sit in my own stuff. Like, I want to wipe right now just talking about it. Just to get the excess out of there.
Like, you can't control? Like,
no, I can control.
Are you a compulsive wiper?
No, I think I wipe too much. Yeah, I think I do.
Just sitting in the kitchen, frying up some eggs.
Like, you want to,
I don't have to poo. I think I need to wipe.
I mean, everyone wipes a lot. You should wipe a lot. I think the one wipers can't be trusted. You should wipe until nothing's there and keep wiping.
Who's wiping once?
I'm sure it happens. You've heard the story with what was her name?
Cheryl Crow.
Yeah, she wanted, she'd use one square of toilet paper each visit.
Well, that's
regardless
just
of number. I'm like, no.
That's ridiculous.
Maybe a roll, not a square.
A roll.
I'm a TP killer. I'll admit it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I'm a TP killer.
You should think of the environment.
Well,
you're killing the earth.
Their environment, my BC, it's all whatever you think about it.
You're smothering the earth in your shitty TP. That was the point of, in case you hadn't seen it, An Inconvenient Truth.
Oh, really?
That was the plot.
It was all about me, huh?
Yeah. It was about you, personally.
There's
video footage of you at laundromats.
I'm a wiper. I'm a big time wiper. I think you should be more often than not.
Do you still take your phone into the bathroom?
Of course. Who doesn't? What are you supposed to do? Read the shampoo bottle? A newspaper? What is this, the 70s?
You're going to come in one day with pink eye, and that's how you're going to get it. Because you're going to be in there, and you're going to be on your phone, and you got the poop swipes going on because there's fecal matter all over your screen.
I used to think like that.
And then you're going to rub your eye.
But every single thing, if that poop particle happens, you have poop particles. Every single knob and handle and toothbrush and hair comb and everything in the bathroom would be covered in poop particles if that's the case.
I can't think about that because that does drive me crazy.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I'm afraid, and this is like a legitimate fear, by the time I'm mid-50s, I'll just be Howard Hughes.
I think, just pissing in jars. Yeah.
I won't leave a room.
Yeah. No, I'm past that. Yeah. Certain things I'm a germaphobe, certain things I'm not.
I love the poop particles.
Well, you can't think that. You can't think on a molecular level. You just can't do it. Now, as far as like dates of everything, every food, I get made fun of daily from my wife for that because I'm OCD about food dates.
Throwing stuff out?
Yeah, just like every single... She's like, do we have any blanket home? And I'll rattle off the exact date it goes bad. I'm like, yes, it's good until next Tuesday or something like that. I have this directory of Best Buy dates in my head at all times.
Yeah.
And I some people are like, well, it says, sell by, so it's still good for me to eat. No.
That's weird.
Throw it away.
So but yet you'll go wipe and smear it all over your screen.
I'm not eating a turd sandwich. I don't want to eat rotten meat, but I'm aware that poop particles are on your keyboard right now.
Oh, no. There's no poop particles on this keyboard.
I think there may be.
No, there's not.
Because odds are you went somewhere.
No, there's not, Adam. Shut up.
Okay, never mind. Just working in the public for so long, I'm aware of the... I used to get, whenever I worked at Starbucks, I would get sick all the time.
And
this doesn't happen because I would touch hundreds of people a day. I would touch them. And God knows what was on their body.
Touch me.
Yeah. So you can't stay away from it.
Well, that was interesting.
Yeah.
That all started with MeTV, by the way.
Like, they had poop particles on their hand. Oh, thank you. And I just nonchalantly wipe my shirt. But I go scrub my hands in hot water. Go home with the poop particle shirt from Larry in the drive-thru still on. I go home, take my shirt off, touching the poop particles, go to my computer, check Facebook. Bam. Larry's poop particles on my Facebook right there.
So right now, my hands are really dried out. As a matter of fact, you can probably see how dry my hands are, like my knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been wondering, because this usually, I don't know, it happens every now and then.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are my hands so dry? I figured it out.
You wash your hands too much?
I wash my hands too much.
Wow.
And it's getting worse.
And
I wash my hands a lot.
I'm a big-time hand washer as well, so I'm not condoning this, but they say to wash your hands less and build up your immune system. Because if you wash it too much, if mothers give their kids too much antibacterial stuff and all that, their immune system is shot, and it's actually much, much worse for your body than the other way.
I say just take your phone in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's
build
what I do.
Build up your immune system that way.
I would think...
You can talk right into a poop speaker.
I would think... At least 90% of people use their phone in the bathroom. I would stand by that.
I am in the 10% who don't.
Like I'm saying, it goes
That's
everywhere.
That's nasty, man.
I'm not like bare touching my butthole and playing words with friends in there.
Like, we have lots of people that listen to the show.
Yeah.
If you work in the medical field, like maybe at a, I don't know, maybe you're a scientist. I don't know.
Yeah.
If you can come here and swipe Adam's phone and do the old high school test. I want to know how much fecal matter is on his phone.
I mean,
compared to how much is on my phone.
Have you thought about everything you touch? After you use the restroom, you button.
Wash my hands.
Yeah. So you do the waddle over, you wash your hands first?
Waddle, baby, waddle, baby.
Because I'm
waddle,
a pants
baby.
Doer, then I wash my hands. I'm not a waddler. So in that theory, everything on your pants is going to be there as well. My hands are clean.
You just blew my mind.
There you go. So every time, even for
Now I can't wear pants.
Sweatpants for you all day. Even for urination, you've got to unbutton your pants and do that. And after every time you touch that belt, think about what's on your belt. You ever thought about your belt before? Yeah, think about your belt.
That's scarier than a public bathroom handle.
It much, much more. You've got much worse stuff in there than my phone. On your belt, the years of nastiness on there, ugh. And your buttons, and your zipper. There you go. And your jacket. No one ever washes jackets. Think of the stuff in your jacket.
I wash my jackets all the time.
Really? You're a jacket washer?
Yeah. I just wash this one.
I'm not a jacket washer. You got to have that Adam scent, that eau du toilet.
Yeah. Oh, you mean shit?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Sorry about that diatribe.
We're back.
For those that are worried, you guys are becoming too focused. There you go.
There you go. This is pretty much not podcast roll right now.
Video game franchises that deserve a resurrection.
Right.
I'll let you go first.
I'd say one of my favorite franchises of all time has been kind of dormant in the past almost decade now. Small releases here and there, but we need an actual numbered title installment, and that is Mega Man. I'm a huge, huge, huge Mega Man fan from the old NES days. They went 1 through whatever, now they went X through whatever, but I want a reboot from just Mega Man again. I believe the Xbox One, PS4, it's time. Make it a nice, good old side-scroller, but just with the Mega Man characters and mythology. They tried that with Mighty No. 9, the Kickstarter-funded game a few years ago, and it didn't work out so well to me. I just want some Mega Man in my life.
What happened? I mean,
I don't know.
It's safe to say that Mega Man is probably one of the most popular franchises.
Right.
From the early platform.
I think he works best and only works in a side-scrolling platformer environment. And that genre, sadly, is gone.
Anything more isn't Mega Man.
That's true, yeah. It took a while for Super Mario to find his 3D route. I mean, people like that now. Some love it, some hate it. But Mega Man can't go in the 3D world. He's got to stay in the left-to-right side-scrolling. I think people don't like that so much. They have much more powerful machines now, and their brains are in different places with 300-hour storylines. They don't want a 10-hour beat-em-up boss game from left to right. They don't want it. I do, but the majority does not.
My first one, I'm going to go back to 1990.
Ooh.
You ready for this?
Yeah, give it to me.
Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
Though it was also available on the Atari ST.
Mm.
I didn't know that.
Mm.
Electronic Arts, James Pond.
You love your James Pond.
A single player game with the sequels. This is a franchise.
Right.
There was James Pond 2, codename RoboCod.
Mm-hmm.
James Pond 3, Operation Starfish. James Pond and the Deathly Shallows.
Ooh.
Was a game for the iPhone and iPad in 2011.
Really?
Wasn't there James Pond Jr.?
I believe maybe. You always say that, but it may be. You may be flat-earthing me. Maybe because you've said that so many times, I think it's real.
I think you're right.
Possible?
For some reason, I remember James Pond Jr., but...
Nothing came up from
it's
that?
It's not listed here as one of the sequels.
Really?
In 2013, a Kickstarter was started to bring back James Pond. And James Pond, Pond is back.
Wow.
And then it was canceled. It was started in June, canceled in October, because the funding never materialized.
For the record, if you Google James Pond Jr., actual obituaries of people from Georgia come up. So I don't think that was a video game.
But I'm saying let's bring back James Pond.
Yeah, we can do that.
Let's start another Kickstarter.
A classic fish spy game.
Yeah.
Why not?
It was a parody. It was like a James Bond parody, except he's a fish.
Yeah.
Operation RoboCod.
Sticking with the idea of giving animals and animal creatures people characteristics. Who doesn't love Earthworm Jim?
Then that stupid worm goes onto the planet and even tries mucus spongy jumping. And if that doesn't stop him, maybe the battle with Queen Festering Sweaty Slug for a Butt will. Earthworm Jim from
That was a classic. I have that on my list, too.
Really, that was a classic. 1994, the old run-and-gun game for the Sega Genesis. And it's possible the Super Nintendo may have had one. I think just the Sega Genesis, though. But fantastic game, fantastic art, fantastic sound. Earthworm Jim 2 did come out, but since then we've had just HD remakes about 7 or 8 years ago, but no actual new installment. And I think it's time for an Earthworm Jim remake.
Ow! Ow! How do we get Earthworm Jim back?
I think if we can get a Rufio prequel kickstarted, we can do an Earthworm Jim reboot. It's time.
Because that was one of my favorite games on the Super Nintendo.
That I know
Nintendo
for sure.
Nintendo 64.
I know for sure that Genesis had it, but the Super Nintendo may have had
Let's see. The Earthworm Jim titles. Sega Genesis.
Yeah, I think just Genesis.
SNES.
Oh, so it was Super Nintendo. Okay.
Sega CD, Game Boy, Sega Game Gear, Windows 95. The MS-DOS version. And the Game Boy Advance version.
Okay, so quite a few.
Single player. I think that's a lot of... Could that be a problem with a lot of these games?
Maybe so.
Like
because
James
there was so many
with single player.
Yeah, it's possible. There's so many things back then. And I mean, and nowadays, there are many people want online gaming aspects. And most of those are, like we said, kind of side-scrollers. And I think people's brains, they want 300-hour games or unlimited-hour games that they can play with their friends online.
Right. I'm going to go with Clay Fighter.
Oh, yeah.
Is my next game.
Yeah.
Crash one fateful day, turn mother creatures into clay with heroes bent on doing right and twisted foes up for the fight. Clay Fighter!
Went to what they set the stage!
Let's get ready to crumble!
You had the Clay Fighter on the Super Nintendo. I think it was the first Clay Fighter game. And this is exactly what it sounds like. It is claymation fighters duking it out. And there was even one called Clay Fight 64
something
like
that. Yeah, for the 64,
yeah. Yeah, there was a Nintendo 64.
It was fun. It was a different art style to it.
I know. It was a fun fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fun fighting game franchise. It's the three Fs.
Yeah.
Fun, fighting, and it's a franchise.
Fantastic Fs.
And we need it back.
Yeah.
Bring back Clay Fighter.
Make Clay Fighter great again.
There we go.
1991 for the Sega Genesis. Many installments came out after that, but Road Rash debuted in 91. Did you ever play Road Rash at all?
Imagine I did.
The motorcycle racing game where you could have pipes and weapons and punch people off their bikes. Many installments after that, like I said, the last one was Road Rash Jailbreak in the year 2000 on the PlayStation 1. But since then, we've had no word of a new Road Rash game, and I think 17 years later, it's time for it again. People love Road Rash.
Is the road games like that, the driving games, are they waning in popularity?
Maybe so. It's a small subgenre community for it still, but it's definitely not a top seller.
What would you say the biggest road game is now, racing game?
Probably the Forza series.
Forza.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Gone are all the, like the 90s was the heyday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you had your Need for Speed.
Gran Turismo.
Yeah, Ridge Racers and all, stuff like that.
Ridge Racer.
Yeah, that was good.
You had Excitebike.
Yeah. I used to love Rad Racer. Oh, I love Rad Racer. So good.
Mm-hmm.
That was good, too.
And it's gone.
Yeah, done. But Road Rash, it's a little bit different. It's a motorcycle racing game where you have weapons and combat. That's cool.
It was like a precursor to some of the stuff you could do in GTA games.
That's true, yeah, exactly. And once again, an EA Sports game, or EA game at least.
It's in the game.
Mm-hmm.
My next one, I'm really surprised this franchise is over, because not only was it a fun game, he was basically the mascot for Sony for many years.
Oh, yeah.
And they're talking about Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
And Crash Bandicoot came, and he was a franchise, had sequels, and then he just kind of went away. And they even say now that Crash Bandicoot is on hiatus.
Really?
That's the official word from Sony.
Ooh.
Because every time, you know, when the PS4 comes out, well, should we bring back Crash Bandicoot?
Yeah.
And they don't.
I've heard stories. Yeah, there are rumors, but who knows until we see something concrete. But I've heard rumors for a while. Hopefully it's going to happen, though.
I think the last time it happened was 2015.
Really, yeah?
Yeah. They started rumors that PlayStation was working on a new Crash Bandicoot game.
So the problem
for
is
the PS4.
Naughty Dog makes the Crash Bandicoot games, and they have The Last of Us, and they've got the Uncharted series. They have those kind of like AAA titles for the PlayStation. I don't know if they have time for a Crash Bandicoot, sadly.
You know, I would be willing to trade in the Uncharted franchise for a new Crash Bandicoot game.
Oh, man. You may be the only person on the world to say that. It's possible.
That's not fair. I've only played the one Uncharted game.
That's true, yeah.
The
you
first
give it more of a shot.
I am.
Do it.
I am.
This is the last time I'll mention Madballs this episode, I promise.
But not the next episode.
But once we talked about in the early to mid-90s and even the 80s, boys loved the gross, snotty, boogery, vomit, saliva stuff. So Boogerman, a pick and flick adventure, it comes out in 1994 on the Sega Genesis, and I think that's a fun one. It's a cool superhero thing. Once again, a very artistic comic style, left to right, kind of a platformer. And here's an odd thing about this. It's funny, we both talked about this from both realms. The game's lead character of Boogerman also made a cameo appearance as a playable character and the rival of Earthworm Jim in Interplay's Clay Fighter 63 and a third.
Oh, that's right.
Isn't that all one big universe there?
63 and a third was the 64 version
that I was
speaking of.
So Boogerman, last time he showed up was then as a rival to Earthworm Jim in the Clay Fighter game. How crazy is that?
That might have been the last time Earthworm Jim was around?
I'm sure, yeah. I think
was
so.
That Clay Fighter game?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. But did you ever play Boogerman? It was actually good.
I never played Boogerman. I want to say Booger Jim. That's not right.
He was an actual superhero with a cape that had like unlimited boogers, and that was his weapon. It was good. It was good for the time. Boogerman needs to come back.
Whatever happened to Boogerman?
It starts off one dark and stormy evening. The civic-minded Professor Stinkbomb was working in his lab. It comes from a Dimension Excrement. That's funny.
Wow. Wow.
That's funny.
Well, that's right in line with what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, pretty much.
You could play Boogerman on your iPad.
Right.
Sitting on the toilet.
Yeah.
There you go. It all makes sense.
It's all triple gross.
My next one is a series that first came about with the original PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I loved the original version of this game. I played it a lot. Twisted Metal.
Oh, yeah.
Pop the hood. The hood.
It's Twisted Metal 4, and Sweet Tooth is large and in charge with all the high-octane attitude you've come to know and love.
And then, as we would go, and Twisted Metal, when was the last Twisted Metal game?
I think the PS3?
2012.
Yeah.
They put out a Twisted Metal game.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So they've tried to bring it back.
Because that was just called Twisted Metal. It was pretty much a reboot. But
right.
Yeah.
And then, once again, it's gone away.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have, like, no announcement for a Twisted Metal game on the PS4.
Yeah.
And Twisted Metal was like a mainstay for Sony games for a long time.
It was, yeah.
The PlayStation game.
Yeah, the vehicular combat was fun. They tried some ripoffs. A game called Vigilante 8 was on there, and that wasn't too good. But Twisted Metal had, I mean, classic like Minion and Sweet Tooth and Spectre and fantastic characters.
Who did you play with the most?
Probably Sweet Tooth.
Yeah, that's who I did too.
Yeah.
Which was the ice cream truck.
Right, yeah. There's one called Spectre. I like Spectre a lot too.
Oh, you could just drive around. Like who doesn't love an ice cream truck with missiles?
Yeah, and like a maniacal clown driving it. Fantastic.
It's like the summer of 2016 all over again.
Pretty much.
Oh, Sweet Tooth, Mr. Grimm?
Mr. Grimm, yeah.
Yeah. And in February 2012, it was announced that Sony Pictures was bringing Twisted Metal to the big screen.
What?
By hiring Crank and Crank High Voltage gamer and ghostwriter Spirit of Vengeance co-director Brian Taylor.
Lord, what a title.
As of 2016, the film has not been produced. I guess these are the influences, like the influences that Twisted Metal had on games like Carmageddon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
WWE Crush Hour.
Oh, yeah.
Star Wars Demolition.
Vigilante 8's out on there? Come on. That's the first thing I think about.
Vigilante 8.
There we go.
Yep.
Okay.
Twisted Metal's closest and most successful competitor during the PS1 era.
Mm-hmm.
A Rogue Trip and Critical Depth, but no word on a brand new Twisted Metal game.
Wow. I think back of the old, my favorite times in gaming for the most part were the arcade days. Now, for me, I was kind of on the tail end of that, so the early 90s was my arcade time for the most part. But around that time, fighting games were huge. You had Street Fighter, you had Mortal Kombat, Pit Fighter, tons of like just side-by-side 2D fighting games. One of those I thought was so different and kind of cool, the animation style, was called Primal Rage. Did you ever play Primal Rage at all?
Yes.
It was a much like a Mortal Kombat, kind of digitized, almost little clay creature statues that were all dinosaurs or prehistoric creatures going against each other.
And who doesn't love that? I love that game.
Once again, it was the 90s, so they could fart on each other, they could pee on each other. It was awesome.
Yeah. Not so much these days.
Not so much. But yeah, check out Primal Rage. Not much to say about it besides it was the classic fighter, and it was awesome.
Primal Rage and Primal Rage 2, right?
Yeah. I believe it was a sequel, yeah.
That was it.
I believe that's what happened.
There was two games.
Yeah, but I mean, the sound was awesome. The visuals, you couldn't pass by that game and not want to play it. It was cool.
But that reminds me of one that I should have on my list that I don't, is Turok the Dinosaur Hunter.
Yeah, that's actually it was a small little tidbit of mine. Turok is on there.
Yeah.
It's time for a reboot. They tried it on the 360 days. It didn't work out so well.
The next one on my list is Rampage.
Yeah.
The arcade classic.
Yep.
To platform classic. And we've had two Rampage games. It's been 25 plus years. we need another Rampage game.
You think with the Godzilla and King Kong tie-in, could that happen?
What if
yeah.
the stars aligned and you could get a King Kong Godzilla Rampage game?
Because I believe, don't quote me, but I believe they're under the same ownership now. I think King Kong and Godzilla are the same people.
As Rampage?
No, it's just together. Those two together. For the first time in a while, maybe ever, I believe they're in the same production company. I believe.
It's time.
So that's a good start.
It's time.
Yeah.
It's Vader time.
I'm down for that. One of my favorite games of all time, and this game holds, it's, as a collector, this game does hold its value extremely well, and that is Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
No. I loved this game.
There's no game ever made in the world or history of games that is close to this game. And I'm not sure how they would do it, but I think it deserves a reboot in the Xbox One, PS4, and the PC era.
The marketing
mm-hmm.
and box art and feel of yeah. this game.
It's like an old 50s sci-fi kind
targeted
of.
Targeted yeah. the 50s sci-fi mm-hmm. feeling.
Yeah.
And style.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what got me hooked into the game. And in the gameplay, it's actually a really fun game to play.
It's really good.
You're basically running around your neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
shooting zombies with a water gun.
Yeah. And the camera angle was cool. And the inventory was cool. It reminded me of a game hopefully one of us will talk about soon, because I have one more on my list, and you may talk about it as well. But it was the same art style and camera angle as that. It may have been a lot of the same developers as the one we'll talk about soon.
Well, I think I do know the game you're talking about.
Which one is that?
And it is Rumble Roses.
It's not that, but I'll use that one later.
From the USA, Tex-Ax, Dixie Clements!
You love Rumble Roses.
I think Rumble Roses is a fantastic wrestling game.
You love it.
And what happened is, because it centers on the idea of female wrestlers,
uh-huh.
and granted, I will grant you the fact that the designers of this game over-sexualized every competitor in the game.
Right.
But the gameplay is fun. The moves are fun. It uses the same Yuck's engine that the SmackDown game had at the time.
Yeah.
On the PlayStation and Xbox. So you got Rumble Roses that I think was on the PS2 and the original Xbox.
Yeah.
And then, no, I don't think it made it to the original Xbox.
Did it not? I know PS2 for sure.
I think
where we played it.
Rumble Roses 2 was on the PS2 and Xbox. But, yeah. If you're looking for a non-licensed wrestling game that's a lot of fun, I say Rumble Roses.
Yeah.
And they should bring it back.
Do it. I'm down for it.
You know,
I'm all for that.
I think perhaps if you reboot Rumble Roses, you reignite the wrestling game genre.
Oh, you think so? Because it's kind of a monopoly right now. Like, just like the football games, we have only Madden. For the baseball games, we only have the show. For wrestling games, we only have a WWE, whatever, 2K, whatever.
Yeah.
It's time for Rumble Roses Revolution.
Yeah.
It's time for that.
Bring it back.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
The last one on my list, I thought you may have spoken to that, but I don't think you will. But you do like the game, I believe. 1991, a little game called Toe Jam and Earl comes out.
Yes. I started to put that on my list.
And I've always believed Toe Jam and Earl and Zombies Ate My Neighbors are very much in the same vein. The gameplay style and camera style. It's about some classic alien funk rappers coming to Earth and trying to just do good things. And check out Toe Jam and Earl if you haven't seen that yet. That game, above all, just the character creation, the way the animation looks, so cool.
It is, now that you mention it, and it's something we've talked about a lot the last couple episodes, especially with your obsession with your Madballs. It is weird that you had that kind of gross out.
See what I'm saying? Yeah.
Bodily
yeah.
fluid whatever through the 90s that permeated not just video games and toys, but also cartoons.
Right.
Where did it start?
It's weird. Even with this recent re-Madballs obsession I have, it's when it hit me. Like, wow. The late 80s and early to mid-90s was just, in the best way imaginable, gross. And instead of sex selling, gross sold.
Yeah.
Like, all this doll is cool. Put some snot on it. Yeah.
Put some snot on it.
Triple the sales. I mean, really.
Yeah.
They were like, they had gummy boogers you would eat. I mean, everything was just gross, and people ate it up, literally.
Did it start with Ren and Stimpy?
I think Garbage Pail Kids myself.
Garbage Pail Kids.
I think it's where that was the origin.
Right. You're right.
What was that?
I can't think of anything before Garbage Pail Kids. Garbage Pail Kids had to be, let me guess, 1985?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
86, maybe. Because I think 85 was the high water mark for the Cabbage Patch Kids.
Right.
So I think 80, but it might have been 85 is when the Garbage Pail Kids came out as well. And then that was, of course, the collectible card packs.
Yeah.
That actually came with gum.
1985, you're right. And the movie comes out in 1987, followed by the animated TV show. But yeah, in 85, so when that hits, and Gross is cool. And they were a big deal then. Parents were trying to get those banned. But it's one of those things, you couldn't ban it because it wasn't obscene, you know?
Right.
I mean, Atom Bomb, where he's farting and blowing his pants out. Gross, yeah, but not obscene. It's not bad. Yeah. I mean, there's no sexual anything. There's no violence for the most part. Maybe a little bit. But it's just kind of gross. That's the best word you could do that. And so it was just kind of, it was under the radar where kids thought it was something their parents wouldn't approve of, but their parents had no reason to disapprove of it.
Right.
And I think that was a big sell for both.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it did start with Garbage Pail Kids. And then once you started seeing it in the cartoons, maybe MTV had something to do
with
that too.
Yeah, it's possible.
And Nickelodeon deciding to... You know, Nickelodeon, even with Salute Your Shorts, would try to, you know, to push the PG envelope, I guess, or even the G envelope and with the gross out stuff. Mm-hmm. Double Dare was a gross out show.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But it wasn't gross out of the way that we're talking about it.
At the same time, you had to find a flag and put your hand up a big nose and dig the snot in the boogers. And
yeah.
It was funny.
So maybe Nickelodeon had a lot to do with it, too.
Yeah, it's possible.
That whole gross out phase of the 90s.
It's possible, yeah.
Of the franchises we mentioned here, and these were huge. I mean, some of these were iconic. Crash Bandicoot's pretty iconic at the time. Did any of these cross over to other media that you can think of? Didn't Earthworm Jim have a cartoon?
I think there was an Earthworm Jim cartoon. Mega Man still to this day has a pretty fantastic comic line.
Yeah.
So I like reading Mega Man comics. I believe he and Sonic both are under the Archie comics. I believe they are.
I know there was talk of the Twisted Metal movie, like we mentioned, but that never happened.
I don't believe, except for that, I don't think so.
Fun commercials, though.
Oh, yeah, for all those.
Most of these games did come about at the time where video games were marketed heavily on television.
Right.
And a lot of money was put into promotion.
Yeah.
Now they're very selective about the games they choose to do that with.
Yeah.
It's going to be a Gears of War or Call of Duty.
AAA title in general, a top seller that will make its money back with the promotion.
Yep. But back then, they would do it for just about every game.
Yeah.
And I remember Crash having the commercials.
Almost like the physical mascot suits they wore. I remember that? Yeah.
They did the live-action Twisted Metal commercials.
Yeah, yeah.
So you actually had the live-action Sweet Tooth driving down the alley.
Commercials back then, I'm going to sound like an old guy here, but 80s and 90s commercials were so much better.
Yeah.
In the past little bit, I'm just watching hours, honestly, in the background, just playing hours of commercial montages from the 80s and 90s, and they're so good.
Yeah.
So good.
I believe even Turok the Dinosaur Hunter had a live-action commercial.
Makes sense, yeah. Probably so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
There you go.
Video game people.
Once again, there are tons more we could have talked about, but let us know at Adam and JP on Twitter or social media, facebook.com/AdamandJP, of course. Just let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you had to choose one game to bring back of your list, what would it be?
Mega Man, for sure.
Mega Man.
Yeah.
Mine would be Earthworm Jim.
Yeah. It's a good one, too.
Yeah, I think so. Or Rumble Roses. check us out online, adamandjp.com. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/AdamandJP. And on Patreon at patreon.com/podcasserole. I'm Jay Patrick. That's Adam.
Eat your podcast roll.
Yes! This has been a production of the Adam and JP family of on-demand talk radio.
AdamandJP.com.
Right now.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.